Today is the seventh day of the month of December. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Welcome to a brand new, shiny, sparkly week. Very clearly, not too many brand new, shiny, sparkly weeks left in this year. But this is one of them. And we are in the Advent season now, so this is the second Sunday in the season of Advent. If you observe that, it's not in the Bible. We talk about it every year. Lots and lots and lots of you are very aware. Your church participates in it. Some of you are like, I don't even know what that is. Advent is a word that means arrival. And so it is a season leading up to Christmas, because in the times before Jesus arrived, there was the hope, the longing for the arrival of a Messiah, a Savior. And so, and then that happened. The Advent happened, the arrival happened. And so in the season kind of leading up, instead of it just being like a retail mad dash to fulfill all kinds of Christmas lists and Christmas parties and mayhem and chaos, there's also this rhythm underneath it all that is supposed to root us in longing. We put ourselves in the position of those who are longing for a Savior to come. Even as we long deeply for him to come again. And so we long for the arrival as we lead up to Christmas Day, when we celebrate the arrival. And so that is what is going on here. You may have all kinds of different, or seen all kinds of different Advent calendars, but that's ultimately underneath it all, what we are observing is the longing for the arrival, so that when the arrival comes on Christmas, our hearts truly rejoice and release. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. And so that's where we are in the year. In the Bible, we're working our way through the book of Hosea at this point. And then when we get to the New Testament, we will read an entire letter. We are not there. We'll get there in a minute. First, Hosea chapters 6 through 9. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has struck us, but he will bandage our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up so that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us pursue knowledge of the Lord. As surely as the sun rises, the Lord will appear. He will come to us like a heavy rain, like the spring rain that waters the earth. What am I going to do with you, Ephraim? What am I going to do with you, Judah? For your faithfulness is like a morning mist, like early dew that disappears. That is why I cut them to pieces by means of the prophets. I killed them with the words of my mouth. The judgments against you go forth like the light, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Like Adam, they have broken the covenant. They acted treacherously against me there. Gilead is a city of evildoers, stained with bloody footprints. As gangs of robbers wait to ambush a man, so do bands of priests. They commit murder on the road to Shechem. They have committed shameful crimes. In the house of Israel, I have seen a horrible thing. Ephraim practices sexual immorality there. Israel defiles itself. Judah also, for you, a harvest has been appointed when I restore the fortunes of my people. Whenever I want to heal Israel, the guilt of Ephraim is uncovered, and the evil deeds of Samaria are exposed because they deal dishonestly. Thieves come inside and bandits raid outside. In their hearts, Ephraim does not realize that I remember all their wickedness. Now their deeds are all around them. They are in front of my face. The people of Ephraim make the king glad with their wickedness. They make their officials happy with their lies. They are all adulterers, burning like an oven. The baker does not need to stoke the fire from the time the dough is kneaded until it is leavened. On the day of our king, the officials became sick from the intoxicating wine. He reaches out his hand to the blasphemers. Indeed, their hearts are like an oven. They approach him while plotting against him. Their anger sleeps all night, but in the morning it burns like a blazing fire. They are all hot as an oven. They devour their rulers. All their kings have fallen. Not one of them calls on me. Ephraim mixes itself with the nations. Ephraim is a flat bread, not turned over. Strangers have devoured his strength, but he does not realize it. There are gray hairs on his head, but he does not realize it. The arrogance of Israel testifies against him, yet they have not returned to the Lord their God, and they have not sought him despite all this. Ephraim is like a gullible dove without sense. They call to Egypt, then they appeal to Assyria. When they go out, I will spread my net over them. I will bring them down like birds from the sky. I will discipline them on the basis of the report about their assembly. Woe to them, because they have strayed from me. Destruction comes upon them, because they have rebelled against me. I want to redeem them, but they speak lies against me. They do not cry out to me with their hearts, but they howl on their beds. They gather together for grain and new wine. They turn away from me. Though I trained and strengthened their arms, they plot evil against me. They return, but not upward. They are like an unreliable bow. Their officials will fall by the sword because of their angry tongues. Because of this, they will be ridiculed in the land of Egypt. Raise a ram's horn to your lips. A vulture is circling over the Lord's house because they have broken my covenant and rebelled against my law. Israel cries out to me, "My God, we acknowledge you." But in fact, Israel has rejected what is good. An enemy will pursue him. They set up kings, but not with my approval. They installed officials, but I did not choose them. From their silver and their gold, they made idols for themselves, so they will be cut off. I reject your calf idol, Samaria. My anger burns against these people. How long will they be incapable of innocence? That thing sitting there is from Israel. A craftsman made it, so it is not God. Certainly that calf of Samaria will be smashed to pieces. Because they sow the wind, they will reap the whirlwind. The standing grain forms no heads, so it will yield no flour. Even if it would yield flour, foreigners would swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now among the nations they are like a pot no one wants. For they have gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey all by itself. Ephraim has hired lovers. Even though they hire lovers among the nations, I will now gather them together. They will begin to suffer in a little while because of oppression by a king with many officials. Ephraim has multiplied his altars for sin offerings, but for him they became altars for sinning. Though I wrote many teachings from my law for them, they regarded them as strange. They offer sacrifices to me just to get the meats. They sacrifice flesh and eat it, but the Lord is not pleased with them. Now he will remember their guilt and punish their sins. They will return to Egypt. Israel has forgotten its maker and built palaces. Judah has multiplied its fortified cities, but I will send fire on its cities, which will devour its citadels. Do not rejoice, Israel, with excessive celebration like the nations, because you act promiscuously against your God. You love the wages you can earn as a prostitute at every threshing floor for grain. The threshing floor and wine press will not feed them, and the new wine will fail for them. They will not remain in the Lord's land. Ephraim will return to Egypt, and they will eat unclean food in Assyria. They will not pour out drink offerings of wine to the Lord. Their sacrifices will not be pleasing to him. For them, their bread will become like the bread eaten by mourners. Everyone who eats it will be unclean. This bread will only serve their own appetites. It will not enter the house of the Lord. What will you do on the day of the appointed festivals and on the feast days of the Lord? Know this, even if they flee from destruction, Egypt will gather them up. Memphis will bury them. Thistles will overgrow their silver treasures. Thorns will grow inside their tents. The days of reckoning have come. The days of retribution have come. Israel should know this. The prophet is treated like a fool, and the man of the spirit is called crazy, because your guilt is enormous, and because your hostility is so great. A prophet is to be a watchman over Ephraim for my God, but a fowler's snare is laid for him on all of Ephraim's paths, and he encounters hostility in the house of his God. They have become extremely corrupt, as they were in the days of Gibeah. God will remember their guilt. He will punish them for their sins. I regarded Israel like grapes found in the wilderness. I regarded your forefathers like the first ripe fruit on a fig tree in its first season. But they went to Baal Peor, and they devoted themselves to a shameful thing, and they became as disgusting as the thing they loved. Ephraim's glory will fly away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, no conception. Even if they bring up their children, I will deprive them of each one. Yes, woe to them when I depart from them. I have seen Ephraim planted in a pleasant place like Tyre, but Ephraim will bring its children out to the executioner. Give to them, Lord. But what will you give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. Because of all their evil in Gilgal, I hated them there. Because of their evil deeds, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their officials are rebels. Ephraim has been struck down. Their root is dried up. They will bear no fruit. Even if they give birth, I will put their precious offspring to death. My God will reject them because they have not obeyed him. They will be wanderers among the nations. Okay, so we're talking, pretty much every day about the speeding up of the year and the fact that that the Bible speeds up. And we're moving through shorter territory, and so we're moving through it rapidly. So we read the entirety of 2 John yesterday. We're going to do the same thing today. 3rd John. And this won't be the last of John. John kind of carries us mostly the way through the New Testament. So we got 3rd John. We'll read all of that today. And then we have the book of Jude, or the letter of Jude. And then we'll be back to John again, because we'll be taking the rest of the year in the book of Revelation. But we're at 3rd John now. And this letter was, again, probably written around the same time that the other two letters were, close together, likely written from Ephesus, which we were talking about yesterday. Ephesus was an amazing city. It's archaeology from the Roman Empire times today is so extravagant. So, it is quite a place. The Roman Empire it's 2,000 years ago. Unbelievable as far as what it was. And so Ephesus was quite a place, and this is where John was, and probably the mother of Jesus, Mary, was. Obviously, Paul wrote a letter to the Ephesians, so Ephesus. And so it is quite a place. It is in modern-day Western Turkey. And so I'm picturing that. And John actually is buried in Ephesus. His tomb still exists until today. And so 3rd John, though, that we're about to read is a little different from John's other letters. Like Paul's letter to Philemon, if we remember that. 3rd John is like that, a personal letter written to a man named Gaius, who was truly an upstanding believer within the churches that John had leadership and influence over. And a lot of those churches are named in the book of Revelation. So John wrote this letter as a word of personal encouragement to Gaius for his passion for the gospel and his willingness to serve and support traveling teachers that were sent by John throughout the churches. And so the custom of welcoming itinerant ministers and caring for their needs, this is common, even common today. And John saw this letter, well, there was a necessity, because there was a church leader named Diotrephes, and he had kind of put some distance between himself and John. And so he was refusing to offer hospitality to these traveling missionaries. And to make things even worse, Diotrephes was throwing people out of the church who disagreed with him and assisted them. So John writes this letter, to be like a word of credibility to Gaius, not only to commend him and encourage him for his care in showing hospitality to those who were traveling to bring the gospel, but also to kind of give him some authority that people would have to pay attention to. Like, this is from John. And John is an actual disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He actually knew him. And so that carries some significant weights. So that would affirm in writing that Gaius was doing the right thing. Right? Like imagine getting a personal letter from one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. That carries weight in the church. So 3rd John gives us this glimpse into some tensions that were existing during these formative years of the churches. And also, though, gives us an opportunity to consider our response about hospitality and our response also when we get ostracized or chastised or disciplined for doing what is right. And so with that, we read 3rd John. The elder, to Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you are doing well in every way and have good health, just as your soul is doing well. Indeed, I was overjoyed when brothers came and testified to your truthfulness, because you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than when I hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are being faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers. They have testified before the church about your love. You will do well to send them off in a manner worthy of God. They went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we have an obligation to support such men so that we may be co-workers for the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, does not welcome us. For this reason, if I do come, I will call attention to what he is doing. He is disparaging us with wicked words, and he is not content with that. He also refuses to welcome the brothers. He even hinders and puts out of the church those who wish to welcome them. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does what is good is from God. The one who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius has been endorsed by everyone, even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write to you, but I do not want to do it with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will speak face to face. Peace to you. Your friends here send their greetings to you. Greet our friends there by name. Psalm 126. The Return of the Captives. A Song of the Ascents. When the Lord restored the captives to Zion, we were like dreamers. Then our mouths were filled with laughter, and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the dry gulches of the Negev. Those who sow with weeping will reap with joyful shouts. The one who walks along weeping, carrying a bag of seed to sow, will come back again with joyful shouts, carrying his sheaves." Proverbs 29:12-14. If a ruler listens to lies, all his officials become wicked. A poor person and an oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. If a king judges poor people with truth, his throne will be established permanently. Father, thank you for the new week that we are walking into. Thank you for your word to guide our steps, to light our path, to bring truth to us face to face, and force change and challenge. Thank you for all that you have done in this year to this point, this 20th year of taking this journey. We are grateful beyond comprehension and beyond words. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness and patience. Thank you for your discipline and confrontation. Thank you for leading us into all truth, which sounds beautiful, but is deeply painful, and then deeply beautiful, because it confronts everything false in us, and there is so much to confront. So we invite you to continue that work, that hard work, and help us to do the work, the hard work of change, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This is Laura from Oregon, and I have a specific prayer request this morning for a mother named Alyssa. She lost her husband 5 years ago to cancer. She has 2 children that she's trying to raise, and she now has been diagnosed with brain tumors, non-malignant. She fought through that and thought she was healed, but this morning she's on the way to have another brain surgery to discover what this lesion in her brain is showing. Her children are terrified of losing their other parent. And I'm asking all of you to please, this morning, pray that the surgeons find nothing and that she is whole and healthy. Her name is Alyssa, and this is my plea. Thank you.
Hello, lovers. This is Andrew from Texas, crucified Christ. I'm calling today to continue praying for Skip and Mary. I heard Mary's prayers for Skip, and I want to let you know that I am praying for you both. You're both going through some health issues and depression and loneliness, and I will continue to pray for you both, for everybody in that community that feels especially lonely through this holiday seasons. I also pray for everybody going through a loss for cancer or going through cancer right now, and for the caretakers, especially for everybody that have lost a child. I want everybody to please pray for my husband. He is the strong in our family. After we lost our son 1.5 years ago, but it's hard for him. So if everybody could pray for him for strength, because I know he misses his son. He's 57 years old and he works very hard, and he's the strength for me and his other children. So if everybody can pray for us, especially during this time. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I love you all. May the Lord bless you all.
Hey, Divers, it's Fearfully and Wonderfully Made from Winchester, Virginia. And I just wanted to say thank you so much to everybody who called in and have prayed for my son and also my sister. Your prayers mean so much to me, and each and every one of them touched my heart. They were all just so beautiful. So I just want to say thank you again. And Brian and Jill, just thank you so very much for all that you do for this community. I know it takes hours to put together what you guys put together every day, and just everything that you do for this community. We love you both so, so much, and you're just such a beautiful family. Ezekiel and China and just everybody that's working behind the scenes, we just love each and every one of you so much. Dabbers, I just can't even describe how full my heart is right now. All of you just coming together and everybody praying for each other. And I have each and every one of you in my prayers as well. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we just thank you for all that you do for this community, for each and every member of this community. And I lift each and every one of them up to you, dear God, that they will stay blessed and that they will feel secure and safe in your loving arms. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. I'm calling on behalf of my friend Serge, who's been like a brother for me in my life, and recently is going through a hardship with a bizarre and unexpected diagnosis of cardiomyopathy, which coincidentally prevents him from being a firefighter, which is a career that he's wanted to be in for his whole life. But right now he's very down and out, and I'm kind of just asking that you guys would keep him in your hearts and pray for him for healing, both spiritually for his soul and for his spirit, but also for his body, that if God's will be that he would be healed of this, that he would be healed of this and have a miraculous diagnosis change. So again, thank you.